It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 at the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Reebok Winery.
We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushu Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Here we are. How about that? We had ourselves some major delays. It wasn't due to us. It wasn't due to anything. It was on Blog Talk Radio. They were having issues. Nobody can get on all that. I was cruising around the home page of Blog Talk Radio trying to find out if anybody else was connected, and all of a sudden people started to talk, and all that said that you were connected. And I ran back here, and sure enough, we are connected too. Sorry about the first... 27-minute delay, 26-minute delay there, but we're here. Mike and I were communicating IM back and forth before the program while we were on dead air, and we were talking about how this would probably be one of our highest-rated shows. Whenever we have audio problems, it seems to be people love to listen to us, but we're here, and Mike's on with us here, and... Yep. So we are set. I was out cruising around, like I just mentioned, Mike. I was out cruising around on the Blog Talk Radio homepage, and I clicked on a couple of sites, and it said, you know, host not available. And then I clicked on another one, and they started talking. I'm going, oh, and I ran back here real fast.
Well, good. We're here, and our guest tonight is ready to go.
All right. We have Jason with us tonight. Let's get Jason on the air here. Hello, Jason. Welcome, and thank you for standing by while we had our audio problems there.
No problem. Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Mike, from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It's I have my family down in Florida. I understand that you guys are having some pretty hot weather down there right now.
We always have hot weather. It's summer.
it's summer 10 months a year is my understanding.
That's right.
Down
well,
there.
11 and a half. We have a couple of weeks of our winter, but then the rest of the time it's pretty hot down here. Yeah, it's like everyone says, it's not the heat, it's humidity. But it has been hot down here. Although we're getting the thunderstorms moving around the area now, which is really causing the humidity to jump up even worse than it was.
Well, that's you know, it sounds like it would be. It's some great weather that we wish we had up here. Although we are rather moving to a little stretch here in central Pennsylvania, which I know my vineyard manager Paul Vizzetti, who you talked to about a month or two ago, he's kind of excited. We are entering. Looks like the next week we're going to have a pattern where it's going to be upper 80s, low 90s, and sunny skies with a little afternoon rain. So I know Paul's pretty excited about the weather up here for the next week or so.
That sounds like perfect weather there. Although we're going to, during the holiday weekend, we're supposed to get some rain on Sunday afternoon and Monday. So, oh, well.
I hear from my grandparents that the golf courses down there could use the rain.
They can. They really, well, all of us can use the rain. It's everywhere, the golf courses and everything. It's the weeds are coming up, and it's becoming a dust bowl. So it's time for the rains, the summer rains, to start coming in and pretty us up again for all of you northerners to come down and visit us.
Well, I have my next trip planned in January to the Orlando area. I'm a pretty frequent visitor to not only my grandparents, but to see that mouse that's based in Orlando. So I'm looking forward to that trip, but I'm delighted that you invited me on. There's a lot of things that I'd be glad to discuss with you tonight. As you know from my social media director, Mike Wilson, not only am I an attorney that a good part of my practice focuses on wine regulations and litigation, but I also am the president of a vineyard up here. I started the Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country, and I also am a member of the board of directors for the Pennsylvania Winery Association.
Wow.
So I wear a good number of hats in the course of the year, which is pretty exciting. It's one of those things that I pride myself on the diversity of my professions and my practice, and a lot of those things could be enough for one person individually, but I take what I do seriously. It's a passion. Wine has, especially finding quality wines, and I certainly appreciate quality wines from smaller wineries. It has always been a passion. So when I had the opportunity to help launch the vineyard at Hershey with Paul Vizzetti, Mike Wilson, and our fourth partner Doug Galately, it was something I jumped at because it's great to be able to support agriculture in Pennsylvania. Wine is one of only two commodities agriculturally that is increasing in Pennsylvania. So it's great to be part of that community as a not only as a vineyard owner, but also as a member of the board of directors for the Pennsylvania Winery Association.
Well, that's an exciting thing there. Just to let the listeners know, Mike was on earlier it was about a month ago now, and Mike has been helping me. Mike Wilson has been helping me get in touch with a lot of people, some great guests. And I'm glad we are able to get you on because being a lawyer, you're the first lawyer we've had, a winery or vineyard or whatever title you want to put onto a type lawyer. I'm going to let you ramble because tell us what, as a winery lawyer, what you're looking at. Tell us about the laws and regulations. Tell us about how things can be improved. Tell us how. Anything. I'm just.
Yeah, as an attorney, I certainly have the ability to talk, and my wife would like to say I have the ability to ramble. whenever it'd be helpful, if you want to have me on, every other month or quarterly to talk about emerging legal issues for the impacting wineries across the country, I'd be glad to do it. But one of the things I'm currently watching, and I'm watching not only from the standpoint of being as a winery owner and a member of the board of directors for the PWA up here, but I am as an attorney as well, and that's direct shipping. There's a movement in the Northeast to change, and New Jersey just passed a law and regulations. Pennsylvania is working on it now that will dramatically change direct shipping for people that live in the Northeast Corridor. While it doesn't really impact a lot of the country landmass wise, the population in the Northeast certainly represents about 60% of the U.S. population. What you'll see right now in many of the northeastern states, Pennsylvania being at this point the biggest holdout, is regulations that do not allow wineries like yours, Ron, to ship wine directly to a consumer in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has a pretty arcane system where the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, a private entity, controls all wine coming into the Commonwealth from any winery that is not a Pennsylvania limited license winery. It's Pennsylvania is actually the largest single purchaser of wine in the world, which makes sense if you think about it. It's the largest state in the union that all the wine is purchased by the state, and then the state has the liquor, the wine stores.
I'm sorry. I never thought about that, but that's true, and that's so silly. Go on.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with the United States President for Banffy earlier today. Bill and I were talking about about the Pennsylvania market, because I'm actually going over for them in the end of July to do some goodwill for the wine industry in Italy. And maybe that's a topic when I get back from Italy, jump on and you and I can have a conversation about the some of the goodwill work that wine owners in the United States are doing with some big distributors over in foreign countries. But we can save that for a different day. But it is silly when you're talking about the Pennsylvania and there are some states that still have laws that say, Ron Hunt, your winery in Florida cannot ship wine to Pennsylvania. You have to sell your wine to the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. And the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board will decide, A, if they think your wine is good enough for them to sell, and B, do they want to sell, and C, even if the answer is yes to A and B, are you going to sell it at a cheap enough price that they'll put it on the shelves? I give a good example. I have some great friends in the industry out in California, and I have a great friend who owns a pretty large distributorship in Omaha, Nebraska. Talking to my friend in Nebraska, he tells me what prices he's getting for wine in California, and we go every other year out to a FAM tour in the Napa region as he tries to identify new wines. And we get the price. He tells me the wholesale prices that he gets, and then I usually buy it from him. And it turns out that those prices end up being one of the largest distributorships in the Midwest. He's paying more for wine than the Pennsylvania LCB. And if you talk to the wineries out in Napa, they'll tell you that it's awful. It is terrible dealing with the LCB. Because they basically will tell you what price they want to pay, and if you're not willing to pay it, or if you're not willing to accept that price, then they're not going to sell it to the stores.
Walmart.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So what are we looking at in Pennsylvania right now? The legislature is considering a few pieces of legislation. One piece of legislation would completely privatize the liquor industry. They would get rid of this liquor control board and allow regular people to own wine and spirit stores. It's one party control in Pennsylvania right now, and there's certainly it's the Speaker of the House that wants that piece of legislation. I'm skeptical about whether you're going to see that this year. What I think is going to be more likely, and what I'm being told by good friends in the legislature, both representatives, senators, and also people in the lobbying community, we are going to see a direct shipping bill that is going to allow wineries from around the world to pay it's going to be about a $100 fee to Pennsylvania on an annual basis to ship wine directly to consumers. However, Pennsylvania will get this money. They are going to say, Ron, you want to sell me wine in Pennsylvania. You can pay if you paid the $100 fee to Pennsylvania and agreed to take your price and mark it up by 18%, which is the surcharge tax that if I went into the Liquor Control Board stores, that's what they take all the bottles, they have their markup, and then they add an 18% surcharge.
I read something about that, yes, 18%. Yeah, that's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, if you're willing to sell under those conditions to me in Pennsylvania, take your retail price, add 18%, and then add the Pennsylvania sales tax, you would then be allowed to ship directly to consumers in Pennsylvania.
And then keep track of everything and send them the money after you've done it.
Exactly. And I believe that the current legislation requires you to pay that quarterly. So the nightmare for a small winery in trying to ship into Pennsylvania, it's probably not going to be worth it. If you're only doing say 5 to 8,000 gallons a year, I don't see the volume that you would sell directly to Pennsylvania justifying the sizable cost. Now, are the people like Mondavi and you're talking about your bulk producers? Are they going to do that? Absolutely, because where they're going to be able to sell directly then is to restaurants. And to larger chains, they'll be able to sell directly, and they'll be able to get some premium prices there, which certainly would help those. Now, corollary to that, which is also interesting, when you think about a lot of state laws, are what happens in festivals. In more than half of the states in the United States, currently, you can't exhibit your wines at a festival in a different state without a state license.
Right.
So, for example, I cannot take my wines as a owner of a Pennsylvania winery, bring them down to Florida. I can't set up a booth in a Florida festival and sell my wines without authorization from the state of Florida and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to do so. What something else Pennsylvania is looking at, though, is amending the law that would allow anyone that has this direct shipper's license, anyone that pays a $100 fee, you can bring the wines into Pennsylvania, you can set up at a festival, pay the festival fee, and every winery in Pennsylvania has to pay a fee to exhibit at a festival. Ron, pay the $100 direct shipping fee, you then want to come up to one of the biggest festivals in Pennsylvania, you're willing to pay the $30 a day, the additional fee, you can taste all your wines, you can sell all of your wines in those festivals. Now, what's the impact? Because it's tremendous. It's tremendous if you're the Robert Mondavis of the world. The problem, though, is if you're a Pennsylvania winery, and there aren't many mass-scale producers. The biggest wineries in Pennsylvania generally are around 50,000 gallons a year. There's a few that are a little bigger than that, but the average winery in Pennsylvania, we're talking 8,000 to 10,000 gallons a year production. The real issue is, if at those scales, as you know, the bigger the scale that you're doing, the cheaper per bottle you can price it, because you're then realizing, sorry if I'm trying not to go into too deep economics. I have beyond being a lawyer, I also have some advanced economics studies. But the larger the scale, the more wine you can produce, the more you're able to spread your fixed costs across those bottles, and the cheaper your bottles can be. There's no way that Jason Reimer at the Vineyard Hershey, setting prices for the Vineyard Hershey, there's no way I can compete on a per-bottle basis with Mondavi's prices.
No.
Mondavi at that volume, and I'm not intentionally picking on Robert Mondavi, it's just we know it's one of the largest producers in the country. They make some really nice premium wine, but they're a mass producer. I'm not going to be able to compete on a per-bottle, while they're doing, a million gallons a year, I'm doing 4,500 gallons this year. It's not going to be competitive. So if those Mondavi-sized producers want to come into Pennsylvania, set up in a festival, they're going to be able to sell their Chardonnays, $8 to $12 for a bottle of Chardonnay that is award winning. Our oak Chardonnay that Paul Vizzetti has made in its first year has won numerous awards already. A recent blogger in the Pennsylvania area said it was one of the best Chardonnays he's tasted in Pennsylvania. I can't sell that at $8 to $12 a bottle, though. I'm retailing that at $18.99. My wholesale price is a little lower than that, but I can't afford to go down to $8 to $12 a bottle. So that's the problem now for the small producers in Pennsylvania, is once Pandora's box is open and the big producers can come into Pennsylvania, set up in the festivals, it's going to really hurt the small family farms, the small family wineries, which predominates the Pennsylvania wine community. And, you know, I am a small winery, so obviously I'm concerned. But I'm also concerned as a member of the board of directors of the Pennsylvania Wine Association. I know we have some really good lobbyists working in the legislature, but we also have the concern that you have the Wine Institute, which is one of the largest lobbying entities for the major wineries in the world. They're putting a lot of money towards this, and likely the legislation is going to change, and I'm not sure it's a good thing.
Well, couple of things along the same line, though. You keep mentioning Mondavi and their size, but I don't think that's the only issue. The fact is that you're right next to New York there, and you've got so many wineries there that if somebody's making 1,000 cases more a year, they can jump over the border.
And they will jump over the border.
They will. So it's not just the big ones. You have to worry about everyone around you. I mean, it's you're going to get people coming. Ohio's going to jump across the border. You're going to get New York that's going to a lot
Maryland,
of New York.
Maryland. And Maryland's emerging. You know, Virginia. Yeah. Some of the largest festivals in the Northeast every year are in Pennsylvania. So the Split Rock Festival, the famous Seven Springs Festival, the Longwood Gardens Festivals. There's also the risk where the Seven Springs Festival and the Longwood Gardens Festivals are two good examples. Those are both very high-end, classy festivals that's driving a demographic that I assume you and I would love to have in our tasting room every day, because it's a demographic that are double income, not many kids, and generally upper middle class to upper class. You know, the type of demographic that has a disposable income to buy premium wines that we're producing. The real risk is you take these festivals that are attracting those crowds. Those festivals are limiting the number of wineries that can attend. How are they going to differentiate between Pennsylvania wineries and New York wineries, Maryland wineries? They're not. They're going to try to then be fair. So Pennsylvania wineries will be shut out. To some degree, to New York, Maryland wineries.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a problem just in Pennsylvania. We're going to start. Unfortunately, Pennsylvania is a bellwether on some of these issues. We're going to start seeing these issues throughout the country as the population. You know, wine is one of those things nationally that continues. The wine industry continues to grow, As we continue to grow, and we're growing by multiples on an annual basis, as we continue to educate the population, as we continue to grow, there's going to be more and more of a push to end protections, to stop protecting the family wineries in the states, and to go to a more national model. And that national model is it going to help consumers by driving down prices?
No.
Yeah, I guess because
theoretically,
prices,
but in reality, I don't think so.
No, because what's going to happen is we're going to lose wineries.
Right.
Wineries are going to have to shut their doors. So in the short run, will prices go down? Sure. In the long run, though, there are going to be less wineries, and less wineries mean less competition. Less competition means higher prices. So. I think this is a huge regulatory issue that I think the wine industry needs to be alert for, and watching what's going on in each person's state. And I don't want to just talk about Pennsylvania. I mean, I'm in Pennsylvania, but we're a national podcast. This is something that I think is the winery owners that are listening to this program tonight. You need to reach out to your state's winery association. You need to figure out what's going on in your state, or, I'd be glad to be a resource. People can find me on my attorney page. I'm an attorney at Post and Shell in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You can certainly go to Post and Shell's website, look up Jason Reimer, and I'd be glad, reach out to me. I'd be glad to help wineries out. We can do the regulatory research for you. If you don't have a wine association in your state, But you need to figure out what's going on in your state legislature. You need to reach out to, you know, if there's legislation pending that's going to hurt the state's wine industry. The wine owners need to step up. They need to become friends with their representatives, and that's a big part of it. Is in Pennsylvania, there are some representatives and senators who are very friendly to the wine industry, but there's a lot of them that don't quite know the importance of the wine industry. I was talking to a state representative last week, and he looked at me like I was crazy when I said the wine industry in Pennsylvania is one of only two commodities, agricultural commodities, that's growing right now. He said he had no clue because he looks at winery. He always thought of wine as a liquor issue instead of an agriculture issue. And as a wine community, we need to change this narrative. We need the narrative to be that the wine industry is an agricultural product, because for a few reasons, but most importantly, legislatures like to support agriculture. It is disastrous to come out against agriculture if you're in the legislature. Now, are there some states that are exception? Absolutely. Florida, Virginia, California, New York, four come to mind. Those states that understand the importance of wine tourism, well, Florida obviously understands tourism. I'm not quite sure about wine tourism, but you know, New York and Virginia and California put millions a year from the state government's budget towards promoting the wine industry. But then you have states like Maryland, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Oregon, which Oregon surprises me, but Oregon, Texas, of all states, that aren't funding their wine industries as much as they should be. Pennsylvania last year put $100,000 total, to the wine industry.
Wow.
I mean, think about that number. There are currently 180 limited wineries in Pennsylvania. We're putting $100,000 towards one of only two agricultural products that's currently grown in Pennsylvania. Put that number in even more, fine-tune that a little more. You know, I started, as Mike Wilson talked about, the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country that he helped me start a few months ago. We got a grant from Dauphin County Economic Development. Dauphin County is the county that has Hershey and Harrisburg in it. Dauphin County's economic development put $35,000 towards starting the wine country, or one-third of what the entire state government put towards wine promotion. But this is a problem that's national. And if you are an owner of a winery right now, or frankly, if you care passionately about wine, you need to pay attention to what's going on. We have to, as an industry, protect ourselves. You need to figure out what's going on in your state legislature. You need to become friends with your representatives. Call your representative's office. Ask if you can have them come over and do a tour. There's a lot of, almost every state, the legislatures have communications arms where you can get the legislator to come out and either have an event at the winery or do a video thing that they'll put on their website. If you become friendly with your legislature, it makes a lot of sense to, ask them if they would like to have a fundraiser at your winery. But the wineries have to become close to the legislature. If you don't become close to your representative, you're going to have very little voice. You know, it's one of those things. I'm proud that my representative and my senator both know where the Vineyard Hershey is located. They've both been there. One of them actually has had an event at our winery, and we've only been open for several months now. But that's something that everyone needs to do. You have to get close to your representative. You have to get close to your senator at the state level.
That's a great idea. That is a very good idea.
Those are some regulatory things that we absolutely need to be thinking about and be concerned about. The other real things you need to focus on, and it's luckily I actually think the change to the TTB And the new TTP online, for those who don't own wineries and don't get into the regulatory, every label needs to be approved. Every label on any of wine bottle in, sold in the United States needs to be approved by the TTB.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
Yep.
We've addressed that on the program before. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's fascinating to me that the federal government's approving labels, but
yet they won't do anything else when it comes to wine, but they require you to have the label approved by them.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is it's incredibly fascinating that the
it's so absurd.
But I'll tell you, if you ever have an issue, what I advise clients, and I have a number of wineries in Pennsylvania that are my clients, I advise you to just call their helpline in Cincinnati, Ohio. The number's right on the website. They are incredibly helpful people. You would be stunned when you call that you're actually talking to government employees.
I've talked to them before. You're absolutely right. Yes,
they're useful. I'm not trying to tell people don't call me if you have legal issues. I'd be glad to help you. But there's some stuff you can absolutely do and do very well yourself. And one of them is called the TTB. They will walk you through every single thing from soup to nuts. So you know that's another thing from a legal standpoint. And you know the last thing. Because I know we have a time issue. The last legal thing that when I'm talking to new wineries, you can't ever have enough insurance. And I tell this to especially owners of wineries. You know, beyond you need your liquor liability, you need your general liability insurance policy. You also are foolish if you don't have a personal umbrella policy on you as an owner. Here's why. Unfortunately, we are becoming a very litigious society. People will sue for anything. And Ron, you've been in the industry long enough. I assume you know some wineries that have been sued over silliness from trip and fall stuff.
We were threatened to be sued because somebody was driving down the driveway. A rock came up, hit their oil pan, and they lost all their oil by the end of the driveway, and it seized up their engine, and they threatened to sue us for a new car.
Yep. This is the society we're in.
Yeah.
There was a case about 2.5-3 years ago out in the state of Washington where someone had a glass of wine, got in the car, drove, hit a tree, passed away. The estate sued the winery that made the bottle of wine and said that the person's dead because of the winery. Now, I mean, we all have those. Someone comes in the tasting room, you're drinking, people are drinking. You know, there's liquor liability issues. But they're also going to hold the owner liable. In a lot of instances right now, we're starting to see not only the winery operation liable for liquor issues, but we're seeing the owner personally liable. It is vital that each owner has a personal umbrella and policy that they're not expensive. I carry a $3 million personal umbrella policy on myself, and I think it costs me a few hundred dollars a year. It's a few hundred dollars a year, though, that I know is protecting my wife and me. If anything happens at the vineyard, I know that we are protected. If I am personally sued, there's a $3 million backstop. And that's, I think that's important. I think it's important for owners of wineries to have that, which gets to the last, and this is a, you know, I shouldn't have to say it, but, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think you can emphasize enough. You have to make sure your tasting room staff are IDing people. And then not serving people when they're intoxicated. I know that sounds incredibly basic, but the number of lawsuits that I'm called about from winery owners throughout the entire Northeast, people that have issues because they're being fined for not IDing someone who looks 30 or under, or serving someone who's intoxicated. It's just not worth the risk. The fines start in the few thousands and can go all the way up to $100,000. It is not worth the risk. Are you going to could you frustrate a customer? Absolutely. But it's worth frustrating a customer to save $100,000. That customer's not worth $100,000 to any of us.
Takes a lot of wine for them to buy to hit that.
Yeah, exactly. It you have to ID. If the person looks 30 or under, they need to be ID'd. If the person comes in intoxicated, and there's a real issue in the Northeast with the number of wine trails, you know, whether it's the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country, whether it's the Lake Seneca Wine Trail, whatever wine trail you're on, you have an issue where people are traveling the wine trail and you're one of the last wineries in the day, it's likely those people have been drinking. You got to make a real judgment call, but you got to side on the side of caution. It's not worth it if you say the person who you give that extra taste, say he enjoys, you know, one or two, you know, buys one or two bottles, but because that extra taste, he got intoxicated, got behind the wheel, you know, caused an accident, that your deductible and your insurance policy and the reputation damage to your winery isn't worth those one to two bottles that he purchased. So I can't, you know, it's something that it's certainly the lawyer in me that's beating this, drum, but you have to check ID, and you can't serve people underage. People that are intoxicated. It's just not worth the risk.
And that's, I emphasize that. I've worked in the liquor and wine business for many, many years, and I'll tell you, it's something that you have to be cautious about all the time. That's a good point. One thing I want to point out here, if those of you out there listening, I mentioned this site before, but again, I will mention it, savethegrapes.org. Free the Grapes. I always say save. It's wrong. Freethegrapes.org. Great site. It's usually post legislation that's coming up and different things that's happening. It's a good way to follow stuff. Do that also. Jason, I hate to say it, but I think we're going to have to call this an end tonight and continue this next week. It looks like Blog Talk Radio, we're getting all sorts of things popping up and messages and stuff, and I don't want to lose this.
Okay. I know you have a musical guest to talk about music next week, but you know, we can certainly have me on for 15 minutes as part of that, and then
I'd be the following week and let you talk because it's very interesting.
I'll be glad to be here regularly if you want to talk about the emerging legal and regulation issues. I enjoyed the conversation, Ron. Anytime you need me, let me know.
That would be great. I definitely will make a note of that, and maybe, you know, like every couple of months we can get you on the program and, you know, update us on what's going on. That would be something that I think would be interesting, not just the wineries, but the people out there listening and what's going on around the country and all that. So
that'd be my pleasure. So you gentlemen have a great evening. Stay cool down in Florida.
Yeah, we'll try, and we'll talk to you next week, same time.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks a lot.
Great.
All right. Wow.
Wow. That was very good.
That was very good. I mean, you know, everybody's a lawyer. Yeah, well, that's great. He has a lot of stuff to say, and he'll have more to say next week. So, and you know, again, we apologize. It's not us. If this is on archives, which, you know, technically it should be, but I don't, you know, Mike and I have issues here about what's going on with Blog Talk Radio tonight. So,
yeah. And I'm still in chat waiting for some kind of response, and I'm not hearing anything right now. So
yeah, and you know, it gave me a warning up at the top and said, and you saw the warning too, saying that, you know, we might not be in, we should get out and come back in, and then all of a sudden we're not showing on air. We don't know what's going on. So we're cutting it a little bit short tonight. And last week I said I was going to talk about properties for sale. Let me give you a tease here. All right.
Okay.
This is 20 acres in the Russian River Valley with a beautiful home, pool, etc., and buildings suitable for a small winery. It includes 17 acres of prime Pinot Noir with great track record.
Ooh.
Winery almost complete for the startup, almost complete for 10,000 cases and a tasting room. Great location, only 20 minutes to Santa Rosa or Hillsburg. Price reduced $3 million, or price reduced down to $3,190,000.
Wow!
So if y'all got an extra $3,190,000 lay around, email me. I'll give you the contact information.
Hmm.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
going together, and Mike and I just open up and do our program live from California.
Yeah, there you go. From the winery.
That's right. Take the bus or take the jet out there. Haven't talked about the jet in a while anyway, so take the jet out there.
I've been trying to figure out how to fly an Airbus A320, but that's a different story.
Don't they pretty much fly themselves?
It does, actually. Hold on. But that's a different story.
Okay.
There we go. So it takes a little bit to strike the band up on these kind of days. But, okay, my chat with Blog Talk Radio timed out. So, one of those
things. I guess they're not in a big hurry to talk with you.
No, not this time. I guess they have some issues tonight. But I don't know. I don't know if this is going into archives. That was my question to them was, is this still being recorded into archives, or are we, pretty much out of the water and there's no audio being recorded,
anyway,
from the time it went off air or anything? Other than I am recording with it's a Skype program called Pamela, and I've used it before. And so I have recorded at least 15, 18 minutes of what we have so far, which it probably isn't much. I don't know when exactly, the on-air light went out, but at least I got that much of it. So,
well, good.
Hopefully there'll be something.
Yeah, we'll get that. So if this is not very recording, cool, then we're going to say
pointless.
Goodbye, and if it is, we'll say goodbye. Yeah.
Yes. And you have a, just in case, you have a
festival
you do
this
have
Saturday.
Wine Fest, yes. Yes, I was going to get into that, and I don't have my notes, and I wasn't sure if I should play that thing again. But
but everyone ready to dance there?
Oh, you do want to play? Okay.
Yeah.
I could play
if
the
we're
old
not
one.
Recording, then hey, and if we are, then hey.
We'll just play for us, if anything. But I'll just play the old one. I think the old one's still in there.
The old one's still there, yeah.
Okay, so don't dance. Here we go. We'll be back in a minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Very good.
Yes, that is May 26th, and you have Sam Osborne providing the live entertainment this weekend. So that's going to be cool. What I don't know if I know I saw Angelo last time.
Angelo, there was an issue last time with our entertainment. So
yeah, well, last time I was there it was Angelo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't remember seeing. I don't know if I saw Sam Osborne or not, but what is he?
He's very good.
Play...
Same as Angelo.
Okay.
As Angelo. Same style.
Good. Okay. Very cool. So
we also
have another
one, Dennis Devine, who's part of our loop now too, and he's local. So he'll be
very cool.
Popping in on the times. So we got three of them in the loop, and they're all very good.
Excellent. Okay. Sounds good. So plan on being there this Saturday, May 26th, and that is you didn't put the times down in the maybe it's on the other side. No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't put the times down on the news thing unless I missed it. Something. No, it's you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Something went silent for some reason. Oh. But you do have the guest in there, and you have the Bohemian Tea Lady. I haven't heard of that. Haven't heard that one yet, but okay. It's at the very top. It says the Bohemian Tea Lady will be here with her hand-blended, organically grown, and fairly traded
teas and herbal. I have no idea what that word is, but
I know. Anyway. I didn't either when I proofread it. I just let it go.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of newsletters, go to the website and subscribe to the newsletter, and then you can tell us what that word is. or, I know, Google is your friend, but anyway. Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and end the show and hope for the best. You know, if it's been recording all this time, that's great. So we will see everyone next Thursday, which will be
Jason back.
May 31st, and we'll have Jason again. May 31st.
Have a good holiday this weekend for all of you. Be safe out there on Memorial Day. And
come
see us if you're in the area.
This weekend or next weekend?
This weekend, Memorial Day weekend.
Wow, I didn't realize that. 28. Went quick. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but that's, wait a minute, 531. Hold on a second, I'm confused now. That's,
531 is our next show.
Oh, that's right. 28th is Monday. There you go. That's what. Okay, that's why I'm getting confused here. Okay.
Yeah, traditional is 31st or 30th, but then we're doing it on the three-day weekend act that they put into effect.
All right.
Number
cool.
Years ago.
For more information on Florida State's Winery, where Ron, show host and popular personality, resides or whatever.
Yeah.
Vice President, General Manager, winemaker, wine taster, and everything. Go to the website, www.floridaestateswines.com. Florida State's Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 34639. That is 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. That is exit 285. So anywhere in the state, you can figure that out by the mile markers, because that's how we roll here in
Here in Florida. Yeah.
That's right. The winery is open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. And you now is
we'll be open
the 20th. Will be open. So,
we'll be open.
But yeah, there you go. So come on down, and picnics are welcome. Also, most major credit cards are accepted, and family and pet friendly. So. No restrictions there. Come down. It's going to be great. And enjoy it and enjoy Winefest this Saturday. So be there and tell them that you heard about it on All About Wine. And Ron will just smile and, you know, say hey. So for more information, you can also call area code 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. And but again, the website has all the details. Plus, you can sign up for the newsletter at FloridaEstatesWines.com. Do that now, and you'll be much happier for it. We will see you all next Thursday, and Jason, the attorney lawyer, will be back on May 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.